Hello, this is Dr. Jay Davidson from drjdavidson.com. Thank you for joining me on the Viral and Retroviral Summit. My guest is Dr. Scott Richmond, and we're exploring, is mold the missing piece? But before we do, a little bit about Scott. Dr. Scott Richmond is known as the mold guy. In 2008, he was diagnosed with mold toxicity, MCS, or otherwise known as multiple chemical sensitivity, chronic Lyme disease, hypothyroid, and heavy metal toxicity. He was living with mold in his home, which led to a very hard and fast crash. After years of hospitalization, massive medical bills to the tune of seven figures, and a slow recovery, he finally found help from a doctor based out of Florida who taught him a life-changing protocol that transformed his life. It took years to refine the protocol he now uses today in Thrive Health Centers. And after hundreds of patients going through this process, he is confident that people who are motivated to get healthy will get healthy from one-on-one coaching. Dr. Richmond, welcome to the Viral and Retroviral Summit.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jay.
Well, it's awesome to have you here. And I love that last line here, that you are confident that people who are motivated to get healthy will get healthy through one-on-one coaching. Talk about that. Talk about the emotion and mindset of why that statement is so big.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, like most, I mean, we want to be well. But then, you know, to actually go through it, you know, this is a journey. And, you know, if anybody says it's going to be easy, they're probably not telling you the truth. As far as, you know, many of us have gone through our own stories, myself included, which we'll get into a little bit more in detail and how to tie this together for the listeners. But the thing is that it definitely takes, you know, some mental fortitude, know what you're up against, but also know that, you know, there's answers and you don't have to stay sick. And that's really, I think, the big thing to know. Is either you believe you can be well and your body's designed to be well, or you don't. And I think it begins there. If you go in with not knowing that principle and not really having faith in that that's a true statement, then it's probably going to be a longer road, maybe more of a struggle, because I think it all begins with what's going on between our ears and having that positive attitude and know that, hey, you may not be where you want to be today, but if you keep working, you keep digging. I don't teach, you know, from point A to B. I look at it as what's the rest of my life going to look like? So yes, there's going to be short chunks, you know, little phases along the way, but it's about the big picture. And am I functioning better than I was before? Am I able to be out and be active the way that, you know, I have been maybe when I was younger and the way that I want to be? Like, all of those things are kind of the proverbial health markers that I focus on versus just, well, how do I feel? Because symptoms come and go so quickly, and they're also not a very good measurement as far as how are we actually doing. So we want to pay attention to that. But I think, like I said, it's a quality of life. It's the ability to function and to learn the things that we teach and how they can be applied, like I said, for a lifelong lifestyle versus just get me out of pain or get me out of the symptom or the immediate crisis. There's something to be said for that for sure. But I think it's, you know, most people really do want that long-term, you know, vision of where does this go and how can I use these tools to get well?
That is the goal. And emotional trauma, baggage, emotional mindset. I mean, it is a big piece to the journey. Let's say, because, you know, you, Dr. Nick, and myself, we were just meeting and going through client cases and things as we normally do. But let's say that the listener, like, hey, I've addressed the emotional traumas, or you know what, I'm good in that area. Why am I still not well? What comes up on top of the list for you as a clinician?
Yeah, I mean, so I talk about my top four. Why do you not recover despite your efforts, what you're doing? And the first one is definitely the emotional. And, you know, there's a lot of things out there, and I want to, you know, speak to this just for a second, that, you know, a lot of people have maybe done therapy. They're under counseling and guidance and all of that. And maybe they've been at it for quite some time. That actually is a red flag to me sometimes, because is it that it's been talked about and suppressed to the point where we feel like it's actually not affecting us? Or have we actually tapped into the energetic connection of that trauma or even a perceived trauma that has now actually been stored in our organ systems. And each, you know, different emotions are going to affect different parts of the body. And so that's really the bigger question that I always want to make sure that we dig into is like, is it that I feel consciously that I'm okay with what happened or my experience, or have I actually really resolved that? And is my body holding on to any negative energy? And that's the depth that we want to get, because that is one and probably the number one thing that I see holds people back. Number two, what we're going to talk more about here coming up is unknown mold exposure. Okay, that's a big one. And it's a topic that it's controversial. It's not well understood. You can't, you know, find all the different parameters to really know exactly what to do. But we've got a lot of that experience to be able to know and look at it. But every situation is different. So we're going to dive into that more, throughout this interview. Number three, dental infections or cavitations. Okay, our teeth literally are connected to different organs in our body through the meridians. It goes back to ancient Chinese medicine. And so oral health plays a huge factor in our overall health. And so that can be something that can be laying there underlying and we didn't really know it. And then number four, another big topic that's just is seemingly getting worse and worse with all the new technology is EMF and radiation exposure. And that's something that is another big, big topic in today's new 5G world that's rolling out. It's the studies are showing it's not a good thing. And we need to try to do as much as we can to understand it, how to mitigate it, how to avoid it. I love technology just like you do, Dr. J, but it comes with a price. And I think we've definitely been seeing that, and we're probably going to continue to see more of it. So those are my big four things that we always want to make sure that we're addressing and at least keep our pulse on it, even if it may not be, totally apparent right then and there.
Yes, well said. And I'd love for you to dive more into mold. Why do you even focus on mold? And then also, I mean, I personally believe that mold is that thing that I don't really want to consider it. So if I don't consider it, it's not an issue. So if you want to maybe touch on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, the proverbial duct tape over the flashing engine light, right? I didn't choose to become more knowledgeable in mold and mold illness and what all that entails. It happened. It happened to me. Being a healthcare practitioner, doing all the things that I knew, lifestyle, diet, general nutrition, getting adjusted and sleep and all of those things. But unbeknownst to me, I was living in a moldy home. I never saw the mold. And that's one of the first big myths is that I've got to see mold for mold to be making me ill. That's not a true statement. It can be in the walls. You never see it. But if you actually, instead of hitting that denial button and you actually open up and you start to observe, whether it's your home or your workplace or, anywhere else that you're exposed to, and you start to actually observe, for myself, I never saw the mold, but I saw the sources that cause mold to become a problem. Okay. I had the leaky, basement and foundation. The house, it was the winter time. So there's a lot of heat source happening over 5 months of that specific winter that was really, really cold. And that's all it takes. It's the food for molds. And my house was also 1940s. And it was in a part of a neighborhood that is notorious for everybody. It's like the laughing joke that, do you have water today in your basement? Because everybody does. And so, 2 and 2 equals 4. And that's really what I was able I kind of moved beyond that emotional, questioning, is it really mold or not? Because I think, kind of what to you're alluding to, you just don't want to go there. You don't want to think that your number one investment in your life is now potentially making you sick. You just don't want to go there. It's a possession. It's your safety, it's your family, it's your structure and just everything that you've lived for is to have a safe place to live. And now all of a sudden it's making you sick. It's a really hard thing to go through. And that's one big piece that I work with clients and also understanding. And even those loved ones that are around, that individual that's been affected, is that's a trauma in itself. You know, besides the physical symptomatology and things that happen when you have, you know, chronic mold illness and what comes along with that is just the, you know, the fear, like, where am I going to live? How do I know that if I move into the next place, there's not going to be a problem there? What do I do with my possessions? What do I do with, do I trust this remediation company or not? Because when we look out at, you know, EPA standards, OSHA, you name it, it's not clearly defined. So it can be very confusing. It's very stressful. And one of the worst parts is it's very, very costly to deal with this properly so that you can have, there's something to be said for just knowing that you're in a safe place, right? Emotionally. And so that's where we have to not only recover from the exposure, but we have to recover from the experience. And, you know, for me, it was a good 10 years, you know, I'm finally live in a nice, safe home. But for a while in that fear, I never knew if I was going to own a home again. What was I going to do? You know, that's my dream. I want to provide and I want a nice place to live. But it was a very real emotion that I had to work through. And so now I think that gives the advantage to be able to communicate to those that, hey, this is a normal part of the process. It's okay to feel those feelings, but what we now want to work on is moving through it and not staying stuck there, because ultimately that's what's also going to keep us sick and not recovering.
That's powerful. Not only recover from exposure, but recover from experience. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that gets right to the heart of the mental, emotional side of things. And I'm just thinking, you know, one of the challenges with this whole idea of like, I don't really want to consider mold because physical possession, it's very easy to judge who you are based on your external physical things. And now if you put those in flux, does that then question who you truly are? If of course we base that. So I feel like there's so much mind, emotional things wrapped up into the mold category, which makes sense of why you focus so much with mind and mold. They're both M's. As well. But so with you, you know, almost losing your life, spending, you know, really a ton of money on hospital bills and all kinds of treatments and things. I mean, coming out of that, what are some big takeaways that you found in the mold world or mold illness side?
You know, probably the biggest one. I mean, I believe everything happens for us, not to us. And it took some time to get to that point too. But a lot of the things that I know now today and how we apply our approach to chronic illness, whether it's mold, Lyme, other co-infections, things like that, is there's a lot of tools that we now know and understand that I didn't have back then. You know, my bowels were shut down. I couldn't go to the bathroom and I didn't understand, you know, a lot of it. But you know, for this case, it's like, how was parasites playing a factor in this? And then knowing that now I'm discovering more about Lyme and co-infections, and then really what this summit's about is what about the underlying viral infections? And so now I've been able to recognize it's never just mold. Mold, I lived in that house for 2.5 years. Why wasn't I instantly sick from the day that I moved in? And it's, you know, it's the bucket theory, my bucket, my body's ability to overcome that burden and exposure finally just got to a tipping point. But through the journey, that's when all these other pieces started just hitting me left and right. And not by accident, it was to teach me so that then now we can be talking about this stuff today as far as how does all this fit together? And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that I've had through this entire journey is it's never just mold, but mold is one of those things that can literally cause somebody to crash very quickly, very hard, and also can be almost invisible and confusing. And so now knowing all of that to help bring clarity to those that are out there and listening and maybe suffering, not knowing where to go, it speeds up the time that it takes to figure this out. Because I didn't have that. I had a lot of great doctors. I had a lot of great therapy, but I spent all that money. I was unfortunately in the ER and then in the hospital with no diagnosis because they literally don't understand it from a medical standpoint, and that it's a very real issue. And so now that's my big takeaway from my whole journey is seeing the bigger picture, but then also knowing how to hone into those specific topics and then marry it together. So that, you know, I always talk about, we're going to take things in phases, but this isn't, here's this protocol or different things to do. It's one big protocol, but you got to piece it together. The order matters, which, you know, you are really well known for, you know, really putting that on the map or in people's headspace that order matters, and unlocking all of this, you know, in specific ways to protect, to have the best possible results, the fastest way possible, but also the most tolerable. And I think that's where now over the last, you know, 5 to 8 years, the clarity on that has really come to be. And I'm so grateful for that and to have that experience, you know, now today.
So what exactly does mold do to the body? Let's say I have mold in my house or my workplace, or I go to school and it's in the school. I mean, how does that negatively impact the body?
So I look at mold like it's the gasoline on an underlying kindling of a fire. And so that fire is the inflammatory response, the immune system response, really. And, you know, similar to autoimmune, the body's overreacting. Well, now we have a trigger. Now we have an exposure. We're constantly getting bombarded by these mycotoxins, which then trigger the immune system to overreact and create this, you know, massive inflammation response, otherwise known as CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. That's the fancy name for that. So I look at it as this fire that's burning. And to, you know, as we all know, to put out a fire, what do? You remove the source, you remove the oxygen, and it smothers itself. So that's really the approach. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do as far as protocol-wise, treatment, binding, you name it, as far as mold. But one thing that I feel is super important is remove yourself, get out of the source so that you start to smother that. But it's also addressing these other components, such as gut health, parasites, heavy metals, viruses. So that way, naturally, we are starting to allow the natural immune system to start to build back up. The challenge with mold is you can have a re-exposure tomorrow. You know, we're in the Midwest right now. There's a lot of flooding going on. Our lives can change on the daily, which kind of what you were speaking at the very beginning, you just kind of don't want to go there. You don't want to think about what happens in my house. What do I get to do with my possessions? But the reality is that doing our due diligence and making sure that, you know, we take off of our outside of our house, we unscrew the garden hose so that it doesn't freeze and cause a backup and then a bursting pipe in the wintertime. Something very simple like that. And I've seen it. One of my friends had a $750,000 custom home, 16 months old. The humidistat, a $250 piece of equipment, was not working properly. And what happened? Condensation in the windowsills in every single room. There's the source, there's the water, breeding ground for mold. The boy was sick, had rashes, GI issues a lot, sinus issues with their youngest daughter, mom having a miscarriage. And for 2 years, they're displaced out of a home because of a $250 part that, you know, it wasn't their actual, you know, negligence. It was the installation of it from the heating and cooling company. And so I think it speaks to doing general home maintenance, doing our due diligence, learning about these things, you know, having a checklist, you know, periodically, that whether it's every 3 months or whatever, you're running through these things and knowing that, hey, making sure there's no leaks underneath the cabinet that you can't see. Making sure that things are on the outside of the house are taken care of, your eaves, spouts, and getting the water away from your home. Some simple things can prevent massive loss. And I think that's the other thing that, you know, maybe doesn't get talked about enough, is just the everyday general things that you can do to stay on top of it. But unfortunately, unfortunate things happen. You know, we get, you know, huge rains or flooding or quick, you know, lots of snow and then quick thawing. The ground saturated, and now it happened to my neighbors. Thank goodness I live up on top of the hill, which was one benefit of buying this home. But their basement got wet and they had to tear out carpet because of the sloping of their yard. And it's the second time it's happened and our homes are about 12 years old. So
how often when a client comes to you, they're diagnosed with one of the viruses, CMV, EBV, something like that. How often do you find that mold is part of their issue?
You know, genetically speaking, the statistics show about a quarter of the population has susceptibility. Now, genetics are genetics. They're not the absolute. It doesn't mean just because you have, you know, a genetic trait that, you know, if you came in contact with mold exposure that automatically you're going to be, you know, deathly ill. There's different levels to that, and not to get into the genetic conversation about it, but genetics require a trigger and then they require an expression. So just because we had an exposure doesn't mean that we're naturally going to, you know, trigger that gene to turn on and now have the expression of even the symptomatology. So statistically there, that's the 25%. And I would probably say it's pretty common, falling right into that percentile of what I see with clients. What I do see is most chronically ill people, if they had that testing done, we're always typically seeing those viral numbers very high. And then about maybe 20, 25%, they may have a piece of mold in their story or their exposure that is another piece to the puzzle. But as far as the viral side, I probably would say the majority of clients that I see that have had that testing, every time it shows up, which tells me, I believe viruses are a much bigger story than what maybe we've been, you know, told or what we've known and understood up to this point, which is why we're having this summit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I look back at Heather, my wife's journey, and, you know, out of the four crashes that I was part of, and one was the massive one after my daughter was born. Besides that crash, the other three, I know that there was mold in that situation. And so I'm looking it back, I'm like, yeah, I mean, mold does seem to be one of those triggers and one of the massive triggers to make people crash. It seems to cause inflammation. It seems to suppress the immune system. And if it does, then that would probably be why, if you run labs and you see EBV and CMV and all these things are active and positive, because the immune system is just dysregulated. So if a listener's listening and they're like, okay, I'll consider mold. What do I do? How do I know I have mold? Of course, our society is trained on what lab tests, Dr. Richmond, what tests can I run? Give us the rundown here on that.
Yeah, so really, you know, I look at the mycotoxins, which I mentioned that, you know, that word before. So mycotoxins is the toxins that are actually making you sick that the molds produce. So the only true medical diagnosis that's even recognized out there in conventional medicine is aspergillosis. I mean, you've got like a fungal ball infection of mold in your lungs. They can see it on scans, you name it. That's going to be that diagnosis. Other than that, most of the time, that's not the case. We don't have the fungal ball and that type of diagnosis, but it's these other molds and even aspergillus that are giving off the mycotoxins. That is what is causing us to be sick. That's causing that inflammatory response. And so Great Plains Labs and Real Time Laboratories both have a urine mycotoxin. From a lab test, that's really the go-to to look at, in my opinion, as far as, is my body being exposed? And more importantly, is my body actually excreting it and getting it out of my body versus kind of storing it? And now that's causing, you know, further issues because it's going to turn, you know, chronic. So we can measure those. We can kind of also get, I like the Great Plains because it kind of breaks it down a little bit further as far as species of molds, what type of the mycotoxin is being present in the urine. And it's a good hint. It doesn't necessarily always change the approach of, well, now what I do from a treatment or protocol standpoint, but it does give you that, you know, good bit of information. So that's really the lab testing that I would really rely on. And then it's really just asking good questions. You know, what's going on in the environment? You know, is there water leaks? Has there been damage before? The age of the building, roof leaks, you know, all of those, that's where an extensive questionnaire actually is one of the best tools because it's going to tell us the story. And then we start to navigate it. If it's something that's like, I never take mold off my radar when we're, you know, going through that initial consultation. And even when we're actually working with clients, it could be 3-4 months later. Like I said, things can change on a dime in the next day. I've had this happen to a client, got out of a house. She had to move. It was a rental property, was doing phenomenal, was doing a lot of other work, parasites and emotional work. And the next thing you know, started coughing. Well, 5 months in, still not recovering. Guess what? They discovered a leak in the house that they were living in. And so that stuff can happen. But really, like I said, asking those questions about the environment, workplace, our cars, our homes, you name it, are that's probably the number one tool besides that lab that, you know, that will test the mycotoxins that really tells the story. And that's why working with somebody and that can ask those specific questions and actually have had that experience. Because a lot of times, you know, the problem with like remediation companies is they do the cleanup, but they don't necessarily see the health ramifications of the issue. And so they may say, well, yeah, there's some surface mold here. You can just wipe it off, or you can maybe use a special product, seal it off, you name it, but it's not getting to the root of it. And that's the difference is getting a clean environment, but also understanding that not everybody in that same environment is going to react the same. You know, my daughter, she was affected. She was a baby when all this was happening, and she had more of the allergy side of it. She had a lot of GI complications, colicky, but she had the systemic rash. And then I was the more extreme part of that, but she only has half my genetics. Her mom really didn't have any symptoms, but yet living in the same environment. So those are all key things to really understand and focus on when you start to navigate this, that it's not clear cut and dry, but there are individuals like yourself, myself, others that are there to help clean up the gray areas as much as possible. And then as you work through it, you know, things do reveal themselves that maybe weren't really apparent at the time. And so I, like I said, I never take that potential mold scenario off my radar. But then there's other times where it's clear cut and dry. It's like, we have to work on, you know, removing the source immediately. And then other times it's, this may not be a problem, or, hey, we can do a simple, more simple of a remediation. You've got a clean environment and the person's recovering. That's the most important thing. And you brought up a good point with your wife, Heather, that's the one thing with mold that also distinguishes itself a little bit, and that's just through our observation and experience, is that if somebody's doing well and all of a sudden they have this huge crash that happens really fast, mold. They've had a mold exposure, it triggered it, the body went from 0 to 100 very quickly. That is a very telltale sign of a new exposure. So we just, you know, we've learned that through time and lots of experience working with a lot of people and seeing that as a common theme that does happen. And then you do your private investigation work, you ask questions, you kind of walk back through it, and it starts to reveal itself.
So we've got coughing, we've got GI, we've got rashes, brain fog could be into that category, multiple chemical sensitivities because of mold, food, would you say food allergies would be into that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, that was one of the first things that I didn't really realize was a red flag as I started getting like the seasonal allergy. I couldn't mow my own lawn. And it wasn't specifically to the mold. The mold just made that worse. But then that's when I started, you know, years later, started understanding that I had a specific white blood cell, eosinophils, that was always elevated. And it took about 4 years for finally that dot to get connected, that parasites were a big component of what I was dealing with, which then leads to all the sensitivity issues, and mold just made it worse. It made that inflammation worse, and it all started in my gut.
So it's a good way to say this. I mean, mold kind of amplifies everything that's already going on in the body, just amplifies and makes it that much worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the proverbial gasoline on the fire. And it, now it's turned into a, instead of a nice little campfire, it's turned into a big bonfire.
So as wrapping this interview up, Dr. Richmond, I mean, just to circle back So it's technically really not the mold. It's the toxin that the mold produces of what makes us sick. And that's termed a mycotoxin.
Correct. Absolutely.
And so when you run a lab like the Great Plains or Real Time Labs, it's looking for fragments of the mycotoxin that's coming out of your urine?
Correct. Yep.
So if you are exposed to mold, and let's say your body wasn't actually clearing that very well, is it possible to have a lab show maybe not much mold or none and actually still have it inside your body?
Yeah, and that's the challenge with labs, whether, you know, whether it's mold or Lyme and co-infections or even parasites, is it's not an absolute. You know, it's the best tool that we have. And a lot of times it does match up with what we're seeing, but there's still that chunk that could absolutely be the scenario that you just laid out. And that's where the power of those questions and, you know, uncovering and turning over every stone matters, and not just relying on a laboratory.
That's a big point right there. I mean, not just a lab test. But I feel like mold, I really believe mold is a big piece to the puzzle, and it's gotta be just that. You just got to open your eyes up to the possibility of it. Even if you don't want to consider it, you just got to go there. Cause usually it's that pink elephant in the room that you're working on everything else and you're trying to refine all this other stuff, but you just want to consider that. Or it's the 800-pound grill in the room that's like, you know, continually punching, and you're trying to fix like my diet and what's the best supplement for this candida. And it's like, but what about your environment? So as we wrap this interview up, any final words or thoughts for the listener?
You know, I think that's the biggest thing is knowing that there's hope, knowing that there's answers. We've definitely learned so much in this space of how this all connects. And it's never just mold. There's usually, you know, other underlying things there. And what I've discovered is, you know, the viruses are playing a very big part. And once you clear your environment and you start to calm all of this down, it's going to allow your efforts. You can have the greatest protocol ever, but if you're living in mold, you're going to hit a plateau, or you're going to continuously struggle. And that's kind of our rule, is first remove the source, and then you can start to get well by applying the tools and the resources that we teach our clients and others out there that are doing too, and all the good work that we have and the technology and research that shows that. So there's always hope. There's always a way, you know, and having that mental fortitude and really understanding that it's a journey and it's going to take time. And there's others out there that can really help guide you, myself, and you know, Dr. J, to help put the rest of these pieces together and address them in the order that they show, so that you can ultimately get well. And then, like, you know, for my story is, I can now go into a moldy building and not overreact. My body is way less sensitive. Doesn't mean I want to hang out there. Doesn't mean I necessarily want to live there every single day. But that's the good news, is that my genes didn't change. My expression has. And it's because of all the hard work and all these other topics we've covered today that has gotten me there. And now I'm way more tolerant of any of those new exposures, so that I don't crash. And I think that's the key thing to really focus on and know that can be possible for anybody listening.
And one quick thought here. Let's say I take a supplement and it's supposed to help me sleep at night and it has the opposite effect. Or I take a supplement that's supposed to give me energy during the day and it does the opposite. Is mold the number one thing that pops up in your head, that you take something and it kind of has the opposite effect on you?
It is. So the quick crashing and the opposite effect, those definitely are probably the number one and two, and no order specific of clues that we use as coaches to definitely go, what's the rest of the story? What's been going on? Anything changed in your environment? Did you go somewhere? Did you take a vacation for 2 weeks out on the water? That type of stuff. Those are definitely the two big clues for sure.
It's so funny, because I used to think it was MTHFR, it was methylation. It's like, nope, it's mold.
Yeah.
It's mold. Yep. We can
100% agree with that.
We can blame our genes as much as we want. It's our environment. So I really appreciate you taking time away from clients to do this interview of the Viral Retroviral Summit, Dr. Scott Richmond. It's been awesome.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. J.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me on the Viral and Retroviral Summit. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. And if you go to a friend or family's house and you're like, kind of smells musty in here, this is the interview that you want to send them, because how else are they going to start putting the pieces together that mold is a problem? And definitely you can take this and own it for your library as well by clicking on the banner beside or below. And don't forget to visit Dr. Scott Richmond. His website is thrivehealthcenters.com, thrivehealthcenters.com. And as he said, not only remove your exposure or recover from your exposure, but recover from your experience as well. Maximum blessings. This is Dr. Jay Davidson.